our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the HorseBills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. HorseBills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
The PA Horse Breeders Association introduces the Pennsylvania Stallion Series. Four brand new races to be run at parks for PA-sired, PA-bred two-year-olds. There are two $100,000 contests on August 22nd, PA Day at the Races. September 24th, PA Derby Day, has two more races, each with a $200,000 purse. The PA Stallion Series, yet another reason why Pennsylvania is the premier place to breed and race. For more, please visit PABred.com.
At the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
We're back, hour three, and about 5 minutes in. Busy last hour, and the morning has flown by. The week has flown by. Doing all the activity we have. Looking for Hammer somewhere on the backside at Del Mar, and he might be doing a little bit of recruiting for Kentucky Downs, I imagine, and. Hammer? No? Yes? All right. Case said, give us 1 second for Hammer. Okay. All right. Rick was trying a couple of places there on the backside at Del Mar for the signal, which I can understand. Yeah, I think, you know, yesterday, speaking of which, yesterday, I know we must have dropped, I don't know, four or five times yesterday at Delaware using the new equipment and the Wi-Fi. But I've got to go get, I said to Tina driving home, I've got to get this, they call it a Nighthawk. It's an AT&T mobile hotspot, essentially. And it'll alleviate, you know, having to rely on local Wi-Fi strength. So that's on the agenda for the weekend. There's Rick. Good morning, Hammer.
Hey, Steve. How are you?
We're good. Good. Back in Saratoga. It's a perfect day here.
Yeah, well, you know what? I guess what? I'm in Del Mar. I guess we're back to our bases here, finally, both of us. But it's a typical Del Mar morning, a little overcast, but it's going to be beautiful today. So I don't have to, you could just put that on, rinse and repeat, because that's just the way it is down here in the summer. But, like you, good to be back in California after an extended road trip, myself, and, not as many states as you hit. That's great, but good to be back here. And you know what? It's kind of fun to be at a California racetrack, and when you walk in an office or two, people are smiling as things have really opened up good for Del Mar here after the little break after Santa Anita and into Los Al, and the meet started out good, and it just puts everyone has a smile on. Trainers have smiles because their horses are getting in, and the fans yesterday at the track were smiling because they're betting on big races, and of course the people at the track are happy because things are good.
Yeah, you could tell the enthusiasm, and you know, obviously opening day is opening day, and it's almost like a holiday in the San Diego, you know, area, but the momentum and you know, the fact, as I said to Jay earlier, a card like this, you know, it's kind of a meat and potatoes card today, but there's a big difference between a card like this that has six and seven horses in it versus looking at it and you know, looking at 10, 11, 12 in whatever it is, 16 claimers. Okay, that's fine. 12, 16 claimers is highly preferable to six or seven of them.
Yeah, no, meat and potatoes, but there's gravy and vegetables included, and that's the difference. And as you know, we've handicapped many races over the years, and when you have to keep turning pages, it's better. It just, you get rewarded when you win, and every race is as good as the next one. But like I said, it's good to get back here. I'm sitting in the backside Del Mar office where, you know, worked here for many years, so it's kind of cool to be back. And even everyone in here is, you know, laughing, and that doesn't happen too often, when not necessarily here, but a lot of the racing offices here in California. But walking around the backside yesterday, handing out some Kentucky Downs books, which people are gladly sticking out their hands and taking. Even if you don't have one, it's nice reading. The races are good, and obviously the purses are big. But settling in here, as I saw a couple of new faces on, you know, we have a couple new riders. Drew's here for the meet. He'll be riding mostly, for the high-profile guys. Ramon Vasquez is here, rides at Oakland, came out early in the Santa Anita meet. He's here. And then I turned around yesterday, and Chelsea Bailey's here. Who rides mostly in the Midwest and at Oak Run as well, and then she's going to stick it out here and ride the rest of Del Mar as well. So, you know, when things are going good, people like to come to the party. So that's what's happening here. It's only the second week, but it seems like it's full stream ahead. So it's kind of cool. Went to the races yesterday, and You know, handicapping, going to spend the day, you know, hitting the windows a little bit. But as will happen sometimes, you know, came in and, you know, you see people you haven't seen in a while and sit down at the table. And next thing you know, you're doing this and doing that. And I liked that horse the first race, and I was too busy yapping and missed that. You know, that day happens when you miss the first one. And I didn't have a good day at the windows because I was just distracted. And it was just great to see a bunch of people I hadn't seen in a while. And you know what it's like. You're not going to make it here this year, right, Steve?
No, it doesn't. Not after all the other travel. We'll do it again, but not this year.
Yeah. Well, anyone, like I said, anyone interested in the double? It's a great double in racing. Del Mar, Saratoga. If you get them both in the same season, it's a good deal. But let me throw in a couple of Kentucky Downs plugs. As I look at the calendar, we are literally about a month away. We open up on September 1st and run through the 14th, and the 7 days in there we're running. And the pots are good. Maidens are $150,000, and it's how that meet has taken off in the last 3 or 4 years has just been nutso. And couple rounds of stake closings this because of the longer meet, 7 days. There's 2 days of stakes closings, August 22nd and then August 24th again for the latter half. Too long to close them all in one day. But and one reminder too as well about the National Turf Handicapping Championship. It's a 3-day event that we debuted last year, and it was a streaming success. Brian Skirka helps us out from Monmouth, of course. And there's 3 separate contests, all the same rules, 3 different days. And you don't have to play them all. But if you do, we'll add up the points or winnings for all the 3 days, and the winner becomes the National Turf Handicapping Champion. So those dates are going to be September 1st, which is opening day, September 4th, and September 11th. So those are the 3 days that the contest is going to ensue. And we'll be anxious to do that for the second time. And I know you'll be back again for our big weekend. I think is the September 10th. 10th, 11th is the big weekend with a lot of the big stakes. I know we're actually going to have a little party in Nashville on the evening of the 9th to kick that off. So like I said, I'll go home for a little bit for the weekend, and then I'm headed your way for an extended stay, longer than usual. And then guess what? It's time to go to Kentucky Downs. So things are really kicking off. I know the meet's gone well there too, and it's great to see. It really is. So
Hammer, anyway, give us give us a couple of ideas today or tomorrow.
Yeah. Today, well, I just got the daisy cutter today, and interesting spot there. You know, it's funny, Wesley, Wesley Ward. He'll ship anywhere. If this horse needs to run in the next week and the race doesn't go where he is, he just puts him on a plane and says, "Let's go." So he ships out this quick filly, Twilight Gleaming, who, oddly enough, has a race over the course here. And that little Breeders' Cup turf sprint that they run now on Breeders' Cup Day, and she picked up that check not too long ago. So, you know, race over the course is always good. Legs Galore is in here, this super fast filly, won 9 out of 15 for Phil D'Amato, who's just been a terror lately, and especially on the turf, you've got to watch out for him. I'm a little afraid of Phil's other horse in there a little bit. She's so nice. And Neil Drysdale has a horse on the rail, Royal Address, that could pick up the pieces should it get heavy on the front end. And there's a couple fillies in here that are going to be gunning. So Royal Address, 3-1 in the program, I got to think that's going to go up a little bit. So if you're looking for a little bit of a price, I would take a look at her. And then tomorrow, as you go through, I mean, just a super card, a normal, you know, years ago, Saturday card at Del Mar, this is what this is. The two big stakes come up, and they come up not only with some nice horses, but like you said, there's volume in there. The Bing Crosby, the grade one Bing Crosby, and got to think that, you know, Jackie's Warrior's presence in the race back there, you know, maybe Brandon Walsh, who shipped out, and Safi Joseph, who made the trip as well, maybe they said, hey, you know what, let's head west. And see what's out there. So there is no Jackie's Warrior in here, but this is a, you know, anytime you have 3 or 4 shippers or 2 or 3 shippers in, especially out here, it just changes the whole dynamic of the race. Some of these guys are coming out of the Triple Bend, which I didn't think was that tough of a race. So if you want to, I want to toss those horses. Let's Get Lucky. Showed a real determined effort in the swap against Jackie's Warrior at Oakland last time, and just never been off the board in 10 starts. And you know, you got that Calbred thing, as we always say. Eh. But he's running with the good ones. He's going to be running at the end. You know, Drain the Clock has run some real good races. Actually, beat Jackie's Warrior last year in the Grade One Woody Stevens. So I think he needed his warm up. I think he's going to be ready to roll, and then Mr. Baffert's back on the scene, starting to run his horses back. This horse Shaz, who's 7-2 favorite, coming off that race at Lone Star, going a mile, dropping back to 6 furlongs. I think he'd look better going 7. I like Drain the Clock in here a little bit to show his stuff, and maybe Let's Get Lucky to hit him late. And then the San Diego comes up, and the San Diego, interesting enough, it's kind of a different race in one aspect. It's a prep for the Pacific Classic, which is a mile and a quarter. And you don't see too many mile and a quarter preps at a mile and a 16th anywhere. Usually, traditionally, if you have a series, it goes a mile and a 16th, and then usually the prep's a mile and an eighth. And so this race is a mile and a 16th. And it's worked. I mean, some of the horses, I just went back and looked at the last 7 years of the winners. Express Train, Maximum Security, Catalina Cruiser won it twice in a row, Accelerate, and California Chrome. That's the lineup coming out of here. So this race consistently has gone good.
Serious.
Good horses.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? And it's, like I said, it's odd to see that mile and 16th going in. And it, you know, case in point, Exhibit A, last year, who prepped in the San Diego? Tripoli. He ran second, and then course went on and won the Pacific Classic. We were here that day and paid a nice price. So why not, you know, rinse and repeat, try it again. I think, here, look at John Sadler. He's, you know, an older, I can say that because we all are, cagey type trainer. The horse needed a prep. Well, guess what? There was maybe a dirt race there. Let's just, the horse, put him on the turf. Let's get him ready. Knowing that in long range he was going to go back on the dirt. So he prepped him in the American. Horse ran fine. I think you're going to see him improve a little bit here, with this not being the end goal again. But I think he'll be part of the mix. And then, you know, obviously the interesting horse in here that shipped in is Mandaloon. And we got to, you know, keep looking back at that Kentucky Derby line at 26-1. Ah, so we have to shake that off. But he comes in ready to go. The Stephen Foster showed a little speed there, just didn't like it. And maybe the drop back to Mono 16th is going to, you know, look good for him, whether he's planning on the Pacific Classic, I don't know. But this is just a good spot for him. I think he comes ready to roll. And then Bob Baffert, as we always talk about, Country Grammar comes in. Rarely do we see him prepping a horse. In other words, when they step on board, they're ready to roll. Could be a little short for him. But I'm looking for Mandaloon to run a good one and Tripoli as well. With Baffert's other horse, he funded, maybe being a little bit of a price. But what an interesting race. Great card. And you guys mentioned that loaded sixth race with the two-year-olds in it. And just a typical Del Mar card. These guys have just done a wonderful job here, and it's great. And, you know, paying a lot more attention. I didn't look into Sunday because I've been buzzing around here, but if you're close by, come on out to Del Mar. You know, it's cool as ever. It used to be their old scene, but it's just great.
It still is.
Yeah. So, and that's where we are.
Hammer, I appreciate it. And how long are you staying? You staying the weekend and heading back north, or?
No, I didn't want to take my watch to the pawn shop so I could get a hotel room for the weekend down here. So I'm gonna head home today. Just my hair. I mean, it's incredible. I mean,
yeah.
You know, I go to my
chair. Yeah.
And the Indigo is my favorite hotel. Anybody that comes to town, I recommend staying there. But, you know, I use a few points a little bit. But, I mean, the rooms, yeah, $350 during the week, $750, $1,000 a night. It's just, I just need to hang out in the lobby and just see who pays, you know, who can pay these prices here. It's crazy. But, no, I'm going to go home because I'm leaving again on Wednesday, so I need to. You know, I just got back, and so I need to spend a little time at home and do a few things. But I'll be heading up, on the road here in probably about an hour. There's a good little window for traffic to leave about 10:30. So I'll be heading up there, and then, like I said, I'll be headed your way, and I'll be there on site on Thursday, and then staying for a while.
Well, I got Vince the Stevedore is here, and Joe the Dude, and they both are giving you the big hello.
Oh, great to see them! It'd be great to see a lot of people. I can't wait to get back there. I hate to say it, I missed a couple of the COVID years, but it's, love Saratoga, love the people, and I can't wait to get back there.
Rick Hammerly, everybody, away they go, and we'll have Rick. Rick's going to hang out, I think, plenty while he's here for that visit. So we'll get some co-pilot action between you and Seth and Chuck Simon and everybody that's wandering in and out. I didn't necessarily think I was going to be here as often as I think we're going to be, because people are, you know, just enjoying, you know, the opportunity just to grab people. So unless the weather gets bad, I expect to be here, you know, any nice day, and looking forward to having you here. Rick Hammerly, folks. There we go. We got, speaking of being here, I mentioned that David Harrison was coming by, and he is here. And we're going to talk to David over the next 40 minutes. And I got to get Nick Tamaro on the phone. So in the meantime, while Casey gets Nick lined up, the wind has really kicked up here, which came out of nowhere. That's usually, I know, it's gorgeous. The temperature is absolutely ideal.
Usually not a good sign.
Not here.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. That's exactly right. But I
don't see any cloud.
No,
when I was heading in from Greenwich, there was some cloud cover towards the west, but it didn't really seem to. But you know, we've seen the wind before.
Usually it's a harbinger
of bad things to come here.
Exactly right.
Reminds me of the Travers, Birdstone, with Mary Lou Whitney singing in the rain.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, yeah.
It was crazy.
I was. Yeah.
The David, of course, our NHC champion, and deprived of the opportunity in the wake of the win. Like several people that came to Vegas, went home and was under the weather. Let's just leave it at that.
Exactly.
And this continues to be an issue, obviously COVID related, and so many, you know, even now with so many people vaccinated. You still hits you. And
I look at it this way: exchange the NHC champion win, 725, for a case of COVID. But you know, again, I felt bad because I brought it home and my wife got it. Yeah, but we didn't have it too bad. But thank you.
Well,
before I forget, I was ready to be on another interview with you, and my condolences when your dad passed away. So,
thank you.
Thank you.
We're going to get you on TV on Sunday as well.
The other issue was we were scheduled for an interview, and you had a power failure. JK was coming on right after me.
That's right.
And I'm like, JK might have pulled the plug on us.
Well, somebody was ready to pull the plug on JK.
And
it was funny because Andy texted him and said, what'd you do? That was when we had the catastrophic, had the catastrophic breakdown, that fried so much equipment, and it was a mess, but it worked.
Now I can't listen to my past interviews with you from NHC. I'm looking for it, but it's not there.
Well, they're not up on the...
No, they've just disappeared. Yep.
Oh, all right. Well,
that's okay. I have a lot of them saved on...
Well, we've got those, and Casey will... Because people love going back and listening to those.
Yeah.
The coverage is so much fun. How is it? I mean, I'm not going to relive, minute by minute and the way we would normally, kind of dissect the postscript to NHC. Mm-hmm. But, what are we? How many months?
I was thinking about it today.
Yeah.
It's almost 6 months to the day. I'm thinking today's the 29th.
Yeah.
Now, the final table was, I believe, the 29th. This is my first interview with you from Vegas that Saturday when I was starting to move up the board. The 30th was the semifinals and the final table.
Right.
Yep. So 6 months. Yep. Time goes fast, I tell you that much. It's back to reality. I got to pinch myself because I'm busy working. I have a very demanding job. And you start forgetting, And then you see a post or an email. It's like, NHC champion. I'm like, oh, that was me.
That's me.
Exactly. I got to remember. And I only have people only acknowledge me and recognize me at the racetrack. I have friends who are non-horse players that really don't understand the magnitude, but horse players obviously know how difficult this was, and I just, you feel so humbled, and you forget, it's like I'm the same guy, just horse player of the year,
That's right.
People respect my friends, casual horse players who play Kentucky Derby, Belmont, they now respect my picks, they actually...
Oh. Right.
They used to reach out to me and go, "Oh, don't play his horses; he's bad."
No. To some degree, and that's an interesting aside because to some degree, when NHC, it's so unusual because even the best players, even the best contest players that are specifically, understand all the mechanics.
Yeah.
And with tons of experience. I mean, you think about the Matisses and Paul's win and Duke in the top 10, the final table that year too. And that's not a guarantee, no matter how accomplished. And that's what's so interesting about NHC. It is really, there's a purity to just, picking the winners and navigating and... I've talked so often about with those that have won or done very well about the momentum and the confidence factor, and you get into a rhythm where you're just confident in your opinion and what you're seeing.
Right.
And it, it, it just everything has to kind of go right. And if something doesn't go right, if there's a slight hiccup and speed bump, you have to be able to shrug it off and not let it haunt your
Absolutely.
Thinking and your mechanics. I mean, I'm sure you went through your plays after they got published, or you know, just in your own mind when you're sitting
yep.
and looking at or you see a horse's name that you know was in a race during NHC. I mean,
right.
talk about the you know the ups and downs and the mental aspect of this in retrospect now.
Yes, what. Killed me. I was there. The three things I think that helped me.
We got to do this.
Okay.
This is
okay.
always.
Yeah, I hear you.
No, you leave it on. Yeah, leave the headset on.
Okay.
That's. Hold on.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's go Rangers. Yeah, actually I'm a hockey and horse racing guy, my two favorite sports. I can't wait to chat to Mig when I'm up here this week.
That's so funny.
I'm sorry, I'll go back. So you're talking about momentum, and it's a mental thing. Part of my problem I realized in the past that I've tried to correct is getting frustrated and a bad beat. Okay?
Yep.
So when I went in this year, I was in there in August, and I think the quick turnaround helped me immeasurably, because I usually a type of guy who takes a while to acclimate to his surroundings.
Yeah.
So the first year I was at Treasure Island in 2017, didn't do so well. Then Bally's in August, and just a quick story how momentum and a bad beat can really change your mindset. I think I had $4.20 on Thursday with one bullet left that the first day in August. And I used an 18-1 shot, I think it was a Claseris horse, in the last race at Saratoga. And he was weaving in through, he's coming down the stretch, weaving in and out of traffic, and he looked like he may have bumped, tried to squeeze through a hole. He came up, won, and there's $39 plus four. So that would have been my last bullet, and he starts flashing. And I got DQ'd.
Mm.
So what happens is you go in with a bad attitude, you're frustrated the day before, and it changes your plays on Saturday because you have $4 rather than $42. So you've got to start reaching out. And I think I reached out too early for cap horses and long shots. But this year, my mindset was I want to go in fresh. So the first, for 2 weeks preceding, I stopped watching horse racing, didn't look at a racing form, didn't listen to your show on notes. I just wanted to go in totally fresh.
Sure.
So that was one of my issues. And then the first day, I was 0 for 8 or 0 for 9. And, you know, you started saying how, you know, this is just...
It's not my thing. You're going there to
have fun. And it's the reward to get there with all these great... making new friends. It was fantastic. So you got to switch up things sometimes. So I'm at my table, and nothing's going right. And where you're broadcasting from, there's the buffet table, and then you have the tellers, and then there's a bathroom exit.
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay, let me go change things up. I'll head to the bathroom. Before I get there, I'm going to watch this race, the eighth race at Saratoga, right on this TV. And I used this horse, Running with Scissors,
who I thought was
a total overlay, had speed. It was being overlooked on the board. Only a seven-horse field, but I'm like, you know, I got to start reaching out for prices. He scored $39. After that, I hit two mandatories. I hit another optional. And the confidence level, knowing that you were successful, and you're just having a bankroll in the 70s, you know what it's going to take to make the cut. So, I mean, it's just the momentum and positive attitude is a big part of it. So, again, that's why I took a break. I didn't want to have a bad beat a week before where that's on my mind going to Vegas.
Kind of haunting, kind of haunting you going forward. Of course. Nick Tamaro's listening in, and we're going to get Nick in, and we'll get Nick's thoughts on, particularly on the Saturday card. And Nick, you can relate, I'm sure. David Harrison's sitting with us, and right, I mean, how much of this is momentum and mental toughness and focus?
Yeah, no, it's I've actually enjoyed listening to that part of it quite a bit. It's very, very true. There's a huge edge to gain when you're doing, I mean, like with anything else in life, when you're doing it with confidence, you're likely going to do it better. And yeah, anytime I've been successful in a contest, it's been because there was some momentum building event, something where I maybe changed things up or looked at things differently, and that got things started in the right direction. I've just not been good enough to parlay it that far. So congratulations again to David, who did it the right way.
Well, Nick. Let's before I continue with David, let me get your thoughts in on the weekend.
Yeah, you know the it's good to see Jackie's Warrior racing in a Grade One at Saratoga. Obviously, it would be nice if there was a few more willing to try him, but I think it'll be a fun race. I don't really think he can be beaten. I think, you know, maybe the only thing that could stand in his way is a little bit of pace pressure from a couple of rivals that could push him along a little bit. He's awfully fast. So I think it's kind of a one punch exacta over one of the horses that'll be making up ground. I'd be more inclined to use Willie Boy than New York Traffic, but I think it kind of ends up being one of those two underneath him. And, you know, the Jim Dandy with only four, I hope that the tactics with early voting are for him to be ridden very aggressively and establish a comfortable lead on this field, which is really what should happen. And if that does, then I would expect him to be very tough. I don't know. I can't imagine that they're going to want to be as conservative with Epicenter as they were in the Derby and Preakness. Of course, the circumstances are vastly different with a small field and a much more moderate pace expected. So that'll be fun to see. And I think we'll get a good sense of exactly where these three-year-olds stack up in advance of the Traverse. So I'm looking forward to it. I think it'll be a fun couple of races. Today's card is actually very good. I think there's a couple of spots where you can find some value as well. So another busy Saratoga weekend.
You know, to do a quick aside, and going back to last Friday and our pre-Haskell conversation, some postscript, because these three-year-olds and obviously the unbelievable performance by Cyberknife and a story that you speculate on, and I'm sure people heard me speculate on about Al Gold growing up, you know, within seconds, literally seconds of Monmouth Park and what a Haskell, you know, would have meant to him and now has, you know, does mean to him. Some thoughts about the, you know, where the three-year-olds basically are going into this Curlin today and tomorrow with the Jim Dandy, and then how it's going to potentially, you know, come together for the Travers.
Yeah, you know, I think the Jim Dandy is going to give us the most insight. That seems like an understatement, but it should give us the most insight because it looks like two of the three best horses right now are running in there. And that, to me, those two are early voting an Epicenter. And then Cyberknife, really, I think, clearly has put himself in that conversation. He had a very favorable trip in the Haskell Saving Ground, but he was always traveling comfortably. He seems to also be a very versatile horse, an athletic horse that can work himself into a tight spot and still race comfortably. And I think that gives Foron Giroux a lot of options, which obviously speaks to his quality quite a bit. So, you know, I think that if early voting were to win tomorrow, I'll put it to you this way, Steve. If the winner of the Jim Dandy tomorrow is anybody but Tawny Port, they're going to be the favorite in the Travers. Barring something unforeseen and they, you know, run just a total slobber knocker and get a 95 buyer figure, I think that the winner of tomorrow's Jim Dandy, as long as it's not Tawny Port, will be the favorite in the Travers. They'll be expected to win because, of course, we won't have Taba participating. But if we get Cyberknife and then those three tomorrow, hopefully there's not much separation between them at the finish, then that's what we'll be looking at. But either way, I mean, it should be a really good competitive race based on what we're seeing currently from the three-year-olds. And I think that the expectation is that some of the ones we're going to see tomorrow are probably going to be better. Look, I mean, Chad Brown's been very conservative with both Zandon. He's been very conservative with early voting. He's been borderline psychotically conservative with Zandon, not running him after the Derby in the hopes of having him ready for a big Saratoga campaign. So now it's put up or shut up time. Right now, you're getting to the races that he was, the whole plan has been to run him in, and he has to produce. And I think knowing Chad, when he has a plan like this and a target, long range target for a race, it ends up working out. So I'm excited to see how well he comes back and where he stacks up now with two of the better horses in his generation.
Well, the Jim Dandy, even with four, and I saw where you made a couple of points, you know, to people squawking about the stake field size. I mean, something we've been dealing with really all year, and in particular through the middle portion of the year. But we, you know, when you got these four horses lining up, again, do we need the, you know, the Flotsam and Jetsam? So we'll see what occurs tomorrow, but no matter what happens, the Travers just feels like, you know, even without thinking about what the Pennsylvania Derby adds to the, you know, to the picture, the Travers shapes up as just a potentially fabulous confrontation with all of the best three-year-olds. Some other spots, Nick, tomorrow, and anything today?
Today, actually, one of the horses, there are a few horses late in the card I'm somewhat interested in. Some of them will be bigger prices than others, but, I mean, you're probably going to see now with Talking Horses coming on and then throughout the Fox Sports show that Fauci in race 8 is going to get a lot of conversation as a horse who really should have won last time. He's probably going to be a relatively solid favorite now with Chuck Willis out of the field. I think Chuck Willis probably would have gone off maybe a slight favorite based on the class, but now you'll deal with Fauci as a pretty solid favorite. In the nightcap, I'm very intrigued by the 5 More Mango, who gets a rider switch from Gary Richards to Luis Saez. And with all due respect to Gary Richards, this is a pretty big jockey change. I'm hoping that Luis Saez is able to get her to a comfortable spot where she can just produce that one late run. She's likely a little bit better going shorter, but I think her last race is better than it looks on paper. He kind of dragged her out early. She ended up making a wide move after she shied a little bit as she turned for home. And so I'm thinking with some stronger handling, this is a filly that can maybe take a bit of a step forward. She's going to be a big price, too, so why not try for a little bit of fireworks late in the card. The New York Reds in the 6th, the 2-year-old race, this is an intriguing bunch because you've got a Son of McLean's Music and Acoustic Avenue who worked 10 flat at the OBS April sale, and the second dam's Mineralogist. So there's a ton of pedigree here. This is a horse who appears to be training well. I think the workout reports have all been favorable. And you've got Bobby the Tank on the outside who also looks interesting, worked 10-1 at the OBS March sale. Carpe Diem Progeny, 9% first time out. There's a little bit of second family pedigree here, good works as well. So I'm interested to see how those two end up shaking out. And then the Curlin really brings together Creative Minister, who's the proven horse in the race, with a couple of recent winners, one just a maiden winner, but Be Better and Artorias, both look like horses with a lot of upside. They've gotten better as they've gotten more distance, and so I'm intrigued to see where they stack up with some of the better horses, at least maybe in this sort of second rung of their generation. So I think if we can maybe squeeze a Travers starter or two out of the Curlin, that would certainly be great and would probably enhance things that much more in about, 4 weeks now.
Well, assuming that they all retain four hooves and a mane and a tail, you know that Kenny McPeak is willing to try. You don't have to worry about Kenny running. So
that's the truth. I mean, and you know what? These are the pitfalls of a year where guys like Wayne Lucas and Mark Cassie don't have horses because say what you want about both of them, they run their horses. So, you know, that's what happens. And I mean, just to touch on very, very quickly on what you mentioned before, there were 6 horses that were supposed to run in the Haskell, right? And at the 11th hour, One Time Willard and King of Hollywood were entered. And they ended up making it a field of 8. Those 2 horses took no money. They had no impact on the finish whatsoever. But, you know, it looks better to the public if it's a field of 8 than if it's a field of 6. I don't think we need irrelevant horses running in races where there are superstars. in an effort to try and fill the gate. Bettors will have opportunities around those races. They'll have some opportunities in those races as well to make money. So, yeah, it's great to see any racetrack run graded stakes with 10-plus horses in them, but there's a huge difference between a group of horses that are barely worthy of the grade contesting a grade one or grade two versus having a horse like Jackie's Warrior and trying to fill out the gate with them. So it's obviously been a bit of a tough year, but hopefully we'll have an increase in good horses that stay in training in years to come, and we won't have as many issues.
Yeah, well put. And, you know, for people who don't understand how the graded stake committee works, there's a whole website, TOBA's website. I recommend some people who think races should be stripped of their grading maybe want to learn how that system works. No matter how many times you point that out, the stupidity just, it's amazing to me, Nick, that you get the things that are said. And in fact, I had this conversation with Sean Clancy yesterday as we were driving home. I don't know why it manages to come to light and be given a spotlight or attention. But I mean, the things are said by some people that just have, they've got no merit. They've absolutely no credibility, and it just brings the whole discourse down, and you know, gives those that are essentially predisposed to negativity another reason to be dissatisfied, and it's exasperating.
It is, yeah, and I'll tell you the other thing that needs to stop is the who's better, Saratoga or Del Mar. You know what? Both are great, right? It doesn't matter what's better. There's different strokes for different folks. You might like the scenery of Del Mar better. You might like the town of Saratoga better, but one is not better than the other. They are both great facilities run by people that are trying to put on the best show possible, and I think it's obviously makes the racing landscape so much stronger when a place like Del Mar is putting out the product that they are right now. And so I applaud them for it and want it to go on as long as possible, because it makes everything better. And obviously,
exactly,
a lot of good horses are running at Saratoga, and that's great as well. So, yeah, luckily, I'm not somebody that's ever had much of an inferiority complex. It must be tough to have one and have to worry about whether you're actually worthy pretty frequently.
No, this is one of those things that in pro sports, when there's franchises that are cornerstone franchises, keystone franchises, you know, I mean, the NBA is better when the Celtics and the Knicks are good, and you know, it has that same, you know, that same cachet for racing. I mean, we need our biggest, highest profile venues to, you know, to be healthy and you know, put on a good product and a bettable product priced right. I mean, it's what we all want. I saw where you responded. You do your, I tell you, God bless you, Nick, because I Sean and I kind of agreed about, you know, there comes a point where you just don't feel like there's any point in trying to explain anything to the people that are, you know, setting brush fires.
I'm a total fail on the never smarten up a dummy conversation. I need to get much, much better at it. I can't help myself sometimes, and it's definitely to my detriment.
Right? Yeah.
I've learned a lot from Nick Tamaro over the years, so listening to this show. Thank you, Nick.
I greatly appreciate it.
Okay, yes.
We will celebrate together in March.
Sounds like a plan.
Exactly. Well, and I tell you what, talk about burgeoning roles of well-known qualifiers for NHC. I saw you sent out the congratulatory missive to one Travis Stone.
The one and only, who's back for his, he'll be in his second NHC coming up in March after qualifying at Monmouth last week. So very exciting. Our table's getting full, and it'll be a lot of fun.
Nick Tamara, everybody, NTAM 1215. We didn't talk about the cross country per se, but it includes two interesting races, actually, from Ellis. There's a maiden race and an allowance, and I actually got the PPs, and worth looking at. And there's some pedigree in the maiden race at Ellis. Nick, I'm going to wrap up with Dave, and I also got to try to slip in Papo with an opinion or two from Form to Win. So we'll talk next week.
Sounds great. Have a great weekend. Good luck.
Good luck, Nick.
Nick Tamara, folks, and Tam 1215. Joe the Dude sitting in. Joe, what do you say?
I've been lost all week.
There's something new for
you. I'll give you a couple tips. I'm having a great 2 weeks. I'm on a roll again.
too many roundabouts in Malta.
Oh, I see.
No, that's what he means literally. Believe me, he doesn't mean with his horseplay.
Yeah.
Joe is a guy that literally, if you pointed him across the street and said, just cross the street, it's that building there, he would find a way to get turned around, and you get a text or a phone call. I'm by Congress Park. No, Joe.
Like my wife.
It's unbelievable. Unbelievable. Too funny. David, we're going to have you on TV on Sunday with Seth. But how has the talk about the 700,000? How has that gone over?
That was real. I thought it was a mythical check.
No, it's not
mythical money.
Right.
So it's a mythical check. You know, when it's hard to comprehend when you're a middle-income guy, and then you deposit that check, and it takes a couple of days to clear. Then you check your account, and you're like, huh?
What
is that really? And you're thinking, am I going to be overdrawn? Is something going to go wrong?
Never again.
And then it takes a while to sink in, absolutely. But I haven't done anything crazy with it. Basically, it let me, the NHC win has let me accomplish, cross out a couple things off my bucket list. Three Ranger playoff games. I wish I could, I didn't meet Mig when I was there. Trip to Santa Anita with Nate Newby and Quigley. Invitation. It was fantastic. Santa Anita is so beautiful. So it's let me accomplish a couple things. But I just want to, before you could go over to Paco, I just want to tell you, your show is so informational. I learned a number of things. Delmarva Peninsula, I'm a big weather guy. I never knew what that was either.
Isn't that
and
unbelievable?
I was like, I must be an idiot.
I felt like
a
dope.
It makes sense. It makes total sense. And then one day I tuned into your show looking for handicapping tips or whoever's going to be on, and all you guys were talking about, you were talking about melons, hand melons versus cantaloupes.
Sure.
Well, I got a surprise for you, dude. This is, now, can you identify it, either a hand melon or a cantaloupe?
That's a Jersey melon or a musk melon.
Okay. This is from Grandma Moses' farm.
Sure.
So
White
is,
Creek.
Yep. So you were, and again, I think I picked it out nice, right?
Thank you so much.
This is my gift to you, a melon. And I have to tell you, want to make sure that you acknowledge this. Over the years, the last 10 years, I listened to your show religiously, and the insight of your guests and yourself has really helped me. You're part of me accomplishing this. The broadcast from the final table, I listened every year. My wife's like, why are you listening to that? It sounds so... It's just picking up Paul Matisse, analyzing it, all your guests. I mean, just picking up stuff from Roger Satina. I can't even name. Dylan Donnelly I met. You know, I absorb things from other handicappers, and I'm still learning. And I'm teaching, you know, encouraging other people, giving them advice on how to handicap and how to get things done. So thank you. I mean, it's been...
It's my pleasure. It's what I... It's, you know, it's really the central core of what we try to do.
So now I may have to give melons to everybody who's helped me over the year. Now, I got to run into the Matisses. I ran into Duke at Santa Anita. And he says, come by the Bidbrook Spring. And Paul texted
there
me.
In the back,
Paul,
in the back
Paul
corner.
Texted me right after my victory. And that was so nice. So I'm going to swing back there. I heard it was Duke's 50th party last night. I wasn't invited. I'm offended.
He would. They
no,
would
I'm
have,
only kidding.
They
I'm
absolutely
only,
would have had you.
Lake Casiona Lake.
Nice.
And, you know, being doing a little fishing, relaxing.
I got to get the Papo. But
sure.
All right, you'll do it on Sunday when we have the local audience.
Yeah, sure.
You'll tell us why you're staying in Argyle and the connection. Papo Morales is standing by. Haven't had a chance to talk to Papo and want to slip in because we do have some interesting spots. Papo, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Steve.
Papo, a quick review from last week, and Haskell, and we talked. You know, we talked about a couple of spots. Sent out some snapshots from Haskell Day.
Yeah, the biggest play actually on Form to Win was Robin Sparkle, Steve, in the Caress Stakes that I posted.
There you go.
Won and paid $44. So that was the big hit. Lamista was the top-rated horse. I mean, I think she paid over $11. And then at the Connaught Cup up at Woodbine, Form to Win had the Tri-Cold, so it paid $97 for a dollar. So, it continues to work out, and I'll continue to post those on AmWager.
And I've been circulating, and of course we do miss Papo Core 1 in terms of accounts, but Form to Win and AmWager, both of the accounts, and I retweet too. How about a couple of plays tomorrow or today or both?
I'll just start with the Curlin Today Stakes. You know, Creative Minister absolutely fits. I'd be interested in some prices, maybe Western River and AP Secret. They also fit on Form to Win. Going to the Vanderbilt tomorrow, Jackie's Warrior, going to be hard to beat. I'd be interested in getting a price horse underneath somewhere, like the number 6, Doc Amster, in the exact of 5 of 10 last 12 months, and fits on Form to Win, as well as Long Range Toddy. I don't think Long Range Toddy could win, but for some reason he was 3rd or 4th on no matter what filter I use, so he'd be interested to underneath. Jim Dandy, I like Epicenter, obviously, and then Tawnyport fits on Form to Win. And at 8-1 offers some value if you can get Chad out of there. And then shipping out west, Ben Crosby Stakes at Del Mar. American Theorem, Desmond Doss, and Bag Boss. No matter how I ran them, those three horses absolutely fit. Desmond Boss cutting back from a mile, but he has to win 2 back at 6 furlongs, and Bag Boss, man, son of Spice Town, shipping in from Churchill, 1-2 straight, and the exact 8-9, that horse has upside. And then San Diego, handicap. A little bit of price shopping here, Defunded, the 2-horse fit, Royal Ship, the 4-horse fit, and then the price horse that it absolutely fit, see, was the 6-horse, Pernelli, at 15-1 on the morning line. He fit there too. So if you can beat some of those favorites in a couple of races, it could be a fruitful weekend.
Nice. Bag Boss to me. If I had to pick one square price on the Saturday cards, it's Bag Boss. And because of him, I am gonna write up the late action at Del Mar in addition to Saratoga. Papo, I appreciate it. We'll check in next week. AmWager and Form to Win, everybody. Download Form to Win. A couple of free races a day, and coming soon with the official relaunch and way to access it for free. Papo, good luck this weekend. Thanks, buddy.
You too, Steve. I'll talk to you later.
Papo Morales, Dave Harrison, Joe the Dude, Vince the Stevedore, everybody, there it is, there, right? I love it.
You did a May the horse with you. But I know
the no special melon. The melon's nice and ripe. I got a nice. You just sniff right there at the.
Want me to autograph that?
That's a good idea. That's funny. David Harrison, earlier Callie Francois and James Scully and Scott Shapiro, Pat McKenna, of course, stopped by. Jay Pridman to kick off his coverage of Del Mar this summer with us. Is that everybody? I think it is. Nick Hammer, of course. Replay tomorrow morning, 5 to 8 on the Saturday side of things here on Sirius XM. Back with you Monday, and now digging in the heels for the duration straight through till Labor Day. I'll finish up and put the play. I looked at the late pick 5 here at Saratoga. I'll put that up at the website. And don't forget to enter the pick this weekend. Lanston Robbins, the 3rd. Good to see you. Yeah, unbelievable. I haven't seen Lanston in forever. Good luck this weekend, everybody. Talk to you Monday.
the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Thoroughbred horse racing is back in Virginia as Colonial Downs conducts its More Racing, More Money.